All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another Whisker Fishing Podcast. I got my buddy Hunter, or better known as High Desert Adventures. Hunter, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on? I'm glad to be here, man.
Heck yeah, man. Glad to have you on. So kind of just getting into the swing of things, I kind of wanted to ask you, considering you are a big hunter and fisherman, you know, I've been following your stuff a lot on Instagram, TikTok, and of course, YouTube. I know you do a lot of videos there. Just tell the people how you kind of got into the outdoor scene, the hunting, the fishing, and all that good stuff. Did you start as a kid, or is it kind of like as you got older? Or if you wanted to get into that, you know, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I've been hunting and fishing for as long as I can remember. My dad, he's big time hunter and fisher. So, I mean, as soon as I could walk, I had a fishing pole in my hand or a BB gun, whatever. I've been hunting and fishing, yeah, since I was just a little kid. And I've done, in Idaho, just about hunted everything that you can and fished for about everything that you can. And it's been awesome. And growing up in Idaho, everybody hunts and fishes. So it's kind of part of being in Idaho, and that's what you do here, you know?
Yeah, very cool. Did you, you know, as you kind of grew up in your childhood, did you fish the Snake River, or what was kind of, you know, the targeted lakes or rivers that you hit up with your dad, or if it was solo or anything like that?
Yeah. With my dad, we pretty much mainly targeted salmon on the south fork of the Salmon River. That's what he liked to fish for the most. As I started fishing by myself and with my own buddies, the Snake River is definitely my favorite spot to fish. It's got just about every fish that you can catch. I like to backpack into high mountain lakes. I've been trying to fish a new lake every year, backpack in somewhere, and I've caught some really cool fish, some stuff that like you wouldn't catch hardly anywhere else. So that's another. I grew up right next to Lake Lowell, and I mean, it's not really the best fishing, but I grew up close enough to walk there. So I was always, before I could even drive, I'd walk to Lake Lowell and fish out of there.
Yeah. That was kind of, you know, the same thing with my childhood, just kind of, you know, with my brother getting our bass rods and just hitting up the local ponds and all these quarries that we can find and just getting after it and, you know, spending 4 or 5 hours a day just ripping basses, you know, as much as we can. Yeah, Lake Lowell, I think I fished there once or twice. I did hear that there's some pretty big fish in that lake, but I also heard that it's not really the greatest to keep out of. I don't hear a lot of people keeping fish out of that spot.
I would never eat a fish that I caught out of there. Strictly catch and release for me. I've caught some pretty big catfish out of there. The bass fishing is actually pretty phenomenal, too.
That's what I heard.
And then just some other little stuff here and there, like perch. And I've actually caught some bluegill, like dinner plate size, some big ol' bluegill out of there. So, yeah, I mean, there's good fishing in there. But if I have the choice of, or like my favorite spot to fish, it's always the Snake River.
Always. Yeah. I've been fishing the Snake River for years, and it's just, you know, you hear of other people, you know, being like, oh, this is the spot to go. You know, if you can get to this, you know, this entrance point, you know, just kind of walk and find your own spots. And that's kind of been my experience with it, at least, you know, just kind of walking and finding good holes for, you know, catfish, carp, and recently been getting on some sturgeon, which has been pretty crazy, an experience I've never had before. You know, those fish, I can't even compare any other fish I've ever caught to hooking onto a sturgeon. It's pretty wild. And, you know, the Snake River's got so many of them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just recently got into targeting sturgeon in the last year, but catfishing, I've hooked into a few. And, I mean, you hook into a fish that big and it gets your blood pumping. And I hooked into one a couple years ago, and I fought it for a while on my catfish setup, and it broke me off. And then I was like, all right, I need to get a sturgeon set up, and I came back. And since then I've been able to catch a couple sturgeon, but we caught one sturgeon. My buddy caught it. It was like this big. It was like 8 inches long.
Yeah.
The tiniest sturgeon. And then the next time we go out, my buddy catches one that's like 8 feet long. So
yeah, that's the thing that really shocks me the most is how small and then how big they can get, because I've been recently going out to the snake and I've been catching a lot smaller ones, and I just caught one like, you know, same size that you just mentioned, just about like 8-9 inches. And then, you know, the first sturgeon I caught was, you know, about 7 feet. So it was really crazy kind of seeing how much they can grow and how big they can get and, you know, just how powerful they are. You know, when you first hook onto one, you know, for me, when I first hook onto one, I was just like, I kind of feel snagged right now. But then all of a sudden the fish wakes up a little bit and then it starts peel and drag and you're like, oh no, I'm not snagged. I'm hooked up on a pretty nice one. So it's a pretty crazy experience.
Yeah. And you know, when you hook into a sturgeon, you know, there's nothing else like it. Like immediately you're like, this is a big fish.
Yeah. I mean, I've taken out some of my buddies recently sturgeon fishing, and one of my buddies hooked onto one and he's like, am I stuck right now? I was like, no, you're not stuck. I could tell, just give it a minute. And as soon as I said that, his rod just bent half over and just started peel and drag. I was just like, you're into it now. So, you know, hooking onto those fish, there is just, you know, you know, a lot of people are like, oh man, like you might accidentally catch a catfish. I was like, you might accidentally catch a catfish, but I promise you, when you hook onto a sturgeon, you're going to know. It's not like hooking into a catfish unless you're catching a state record or one of those big ones out there.
Yeah. And speaking of catching big catfish, like the last 2-3 years, I've been catching some big flathead catfish out of there. And before that, like all through my childhood, I was just catching channel cats.
Yeah.
And I feel like the last few years, the flathead started moving in there and I've caught some big old flatheads out of there.
Yeah. I've seen a few of your videos on YouTube and TikTok of you hooking onto some good flatheads. This past summer, I kind of started getting onto them with a buddy of mine that kind of knows where to target them. And I finally got on one, a pretty decent one, probably about 25 pounds. And the fight, I'd have to say, is a little bit different than your ordinary channel catfish. I mean, you know, I've been catfishing my whole life. You know, that was kind of the fishing my dad first introduced me to. And it's weird, is, you know, I hook onto this flathead and I'm just like, it feels like I'm reeling up a really heavy log. And then all of a sudden it just dives back down and just straight like a torpedo versus, you know, some of those channel catfish, which gives you those really rapid head shakes and, you know, that really big rod action. So it's a little bit different, but it's pretty cool catching a flathead because, you know, a lot of people up here, you know, they don't target catfish, at least from my knowledge. There's only a handful of guys that will be like, yeah, I actually target catfish. Like I've been out on the snake a few times and people are like, well, what are you fishing for? And then I was like, catfish. And they kind of just give me a little bit of a weird look. You know, they got all their bass rods and all that stuff. And I'm like, you know, I like to have a bass rod with me as well, but I know there's big catfish in here and that's what I'm mainly going for. So.
Yeah. They kind of have a reputation as like bassfish, but they're big, they fight hard, and they're a lot of fun to catch. So I don't really look at it like that. To me, it's one of my favorite fish to catch, especially the big flatheads. And like you were saying, it feels like you hook into a log and you get it up kind of closer to shore, and then they like know what's
going on.
And they just pull and they will drag your line out. And it's a rush for sure. Not like a sturgeon, but pretty close to it.
Yeah, about the you know, the next best thing. But yeah, you know, I hooked on to, you know, the same thing that you're saying, you know, they get up to that shore and they see you grabbing that net or you reaching your hand down to grab their mouth and then they just want to take off. But yeah, there, you know, there's a lot of good catfishing and a lot of guys are like, oh, are you strictly catch and release? I was like, yeah, it depends on the, you know, the area I'm at, but a lot of times I'll keep the smaller ones, to me, got a lot of that good tender meat. And if you know how to cook catfish right, it's money. I mean, it's delicious.
Yeah. I don't keep many of the fish that I catch, but I got a video on YouTube of me doing a catch and cook, one of the channel cats that I caught, and it was actually delicious. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I've done different type of recipes, you know, pan sear, you know, frying. The frying is just kind of another level. You know, if you're able to fry that stuff perfectly, it's some of my favorite fish to eat for sure. But yeah, kind of just getting into the next part of our segment here. I just kind of wanted to ask you more about your self-filming hunts and fishing trips. I've been following your YouTube and TikTok for a while, as we were kind of spoke earlier about it. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to ask you how that process is going, you know, how you started it, what, you know, what sparked the idea, all that good stuff, you know, the editing process, you know, all that good stuff. If you want to get into that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always been hunting and fishing, and I've always liked to watch other people's videos. And I kind of just figured, if I'm already putting in the work and getting out here and doing it, I might as well just film it, and hopefully someday it'll turn into something. But even if it doesn't, I like doing it. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's something that I can look back on and watch, you know, go through my old memories. And I've had a pretty good luck on some of my videos. My last video that I made was a deer hunting video, and solo filming your hunts is not easy.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine.
You're trying to get the animal on your phone scope or whatever, and then you're on your rifle and switching back and forth, making sure you have it on camera when you're pulling the trigger. Like, it was not easy, but I got lucky and my hunt turned out perfect. I shot a decent little buck, got it on camera. It was awesome. That's the only successful hunting video that I have out right now. I've got some other videos of me picking up sheds and stuff, and that's really cool too. And hopefully starting this spring, I'm going to be doing some bear hunting, so I'm going to be putting out some new videos this next year.
Very cool. Yeah, I have a buddy that does springtime bear hunting, and last year he got a pretty nice one up by Riggins. There by the Snake River, and we had a class together, because I went to Boise State, and he was like, yeah, I'm pretty big into hunting up here, and I'm gonna be going after bear here soon. And, you know, as soon as I said that, next weekend, you know, next week kind of falls around, he's like, yeah, I finally got my bear. And he showed me a picture. It was a pretty nice one. So yeah, you know, those self-filming hunts, man, they look pretty difficult. You know, I've watched a lot of those videos, and it looks like it's a workout, man. You see these guys going into that really high country, high territory, you know, and I hear of some guys even like training to, you know, to get into shape, to be able to just, you know, walk miles and miles over just heavy terrain, and just to be able to see an animal, not even shoot one. So if you want to kind of get into that, you know, how does that kind of affect the mental and the physical, you know, when you're going out there and you're having to, you know, track these animals down, but also, you know, having to watch your, you know, every step, making sure you're not falling down or, you know, rolling down a hill. Cause I know sometimes you're at a pretty steep incline.
Yeah. And Idaho's got some rugged country, some steep mountains. It's not easy. You definitely got to be in shape if you're going to be a serious backcountry hunter. And, like, some of my favorite hunts are like multi-day backpacking trips where you're hiking 20 miles in like a couple of days, like 15 miles in one day is like not even, you're going to do more than that, especially if you shoot something and you got to pack it out.
Yep.
You're going to be doing multiple trips back and forth. So you kind of got to be careful how far back you get in, what kind of country you get into. But you definitely got to be in shape. It's not something that you can just, you know, sit at home on the couch and then when hunting season comes around, you go do it. No, you gotta be active. Gotta prepare yourself for it.
Yeah,
you
gotta prepare. 100%. Yeah,
if you're willing to put the work in and you're willing to do it, it's some of the best experiences, especially in Idaho. The hunting experiences, the opportunities that we have here, second to none. If you're willing to put in the work, you can be successful every year. Kill a 100%. Buck, a bull, or a bear, whatever you're going for. If you're willing to work for it, you can do it.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I've talked to Suma, one of my buddies that I actually take out sturgeon fishing. He's a pretty big hunter, and he's like, yeah, man, the terrain is pretty rugged, but, you know, it's definitely worth it when you end up dropping the animal that you're targeting. You know, you get over there and you see what you've done. You're like, man, it's definitely worth it. But he's just like, you got to be in good shape and you got to be willing to kind of sacrifice, you know, doing that stuff, because it is hard work. And, you know, the packing out seems to be one of the hardest parts. You know, talking to a few guys, they're like, yeah, you know, you could be taking multiple trips over hours and hours long, just to get this animal out, but, it's worth every penny. And, you know, every second that you're out there, it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it is. And you can see up above me, there's one of the bucks that nice. I killed.
That's a nice one, dude.
Another buck that I killed right back here. And
very cool.
A whole bunch of some bear skins and some more skulls and stuff up nice. There. So, I've been lucky, and that's another part that hunting is, if you're putting in the work and you're being consistent about it, then yeah, you'll be successful. But another part is luck. And the last few years, I'll put in 10 miles and then I'll get back to the truck. And while I'm driving out, a buck will cross the road right in front of me, you know?
Yeah. It always seems to happen like that. You know, talking to some guys, they're like, yeah, you know, you get done with your hunt and then all of a sudden you see the exact same, you know, the exact animal that I wanted to drop, you know, cross my truck or across the road. And you're just like, damn, like, you know, why didn't I see that, you know, while backpacking and, you know, walking through that heavy terrain. And it's definitely a work in progress, and seems like it's a trial and error for sure. You know, you're out there for hours, and you know, there's probably times where you don't even see anything.
It can be frustrating. And like there's times where I've been hunting and I'll go a whole season with basically not seeing anything. And then there's other times where I'll go out and, like, for example, 2 years ago, I went bear hunting, and from one spot sitting and glassing, I glassed up 7 bears, and I ended up shooting the biggest one that I saw. And then the next year, same area, I hunted multiple times throughout the season, and I never saw a single bear. So it's different every year, and it can be frustrating, and it's a different ball game than, you know, it's tough work.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it kind of, you know, goes back into, you know, I'm a big fisherman and outdoorsman. I don't do much of the hunting side. I have shot quite a bit. You know, same thing with, you know, fishing. Sometimes those holes change, you know, water levels rise and drop. And, there's been times where I've gone out to my quote unquote, you know, honey hole and caught nothing, you know, and then I go out the next week, you know, with all my buddies. You know, I like to bring out a lot of my friends who don't do a lot of fishing, because, you know, it's exciting for me to, you know, see my friends get on some big fish. And, you know, we'll limit out. Everybody's getting a fish or two, and it's, you know, the greatest night of fishing we've ever had. But then, you know, like I said before, there's times where you go out there and you don't even get a single nibble. But yeah, you know, kind of going into shifting from the hunting to the fishing side, what kind of changes with, you know, the filming or setting up for rather a fishing trip, to a hunting trip? I know that fishing, you know, you kind of park and you walk a little bit. It's not as bad rugged terrain, and you know, you're set up for the day and you're just, you know, hanging out waiting for that bite.
Yeah, definitely filming fishing is a little easier than filming a hunting trip, but you just got to be lucky, you know, catch some fish on camera, make sure your camera's always rolling. I keep a GoPro on me, and then I have like my big camera set up behind me. And it's definitely easier than hunting, because when you're hunting, you're hiking, you're out of breath all the time. You can't really just stop and talk to the camera, or you can be, you know.
Yeah, breathing. Exactly. You're heavy breathing, you know, you're just suffering a little bit.
Yeah. And I don't know. I would say it's definitely easier. The hard part for me is the editing. I'm not a real computer tech savvy type of guy.
I totally feel you on that one.
I can go catch the fish and, you know, go kill a buck, but putting together a video is harder than the actual hunt for me.
Yeah, 100%. I totally get that. You know, with doing this podcast, and you know, I got a lot of other buddies that are on this. You know, we're the Settle Down Podcast. That's kind of our name. We got a bunch of different segments, and there's guys in our group that are really good at the editing portion. There's some guys that are not, and I'm definitely one of those guys that are not really tech savvy. I'm not really with, you know, the new technology and all this editing software, but I'm going to be getting a new laptop soon and trying to learn a little bit more, because, you know, while I'm fishing, I try to film as much as I can. Even if I'm catching a little tiny fish, whether it's a little sturgeon or, you know, a little bass, catfish, whatever it may be. I'm always trying to film because, like you said, you know, it'd be nice to try to make something out of this, you know, with the content, you know, on, you know, TikTok, YouTube, wherever, whatever it may be. But it's also just fun to look back on it, you know, when you're older and be like, you know, I did that, you know, I put in a lot of time, a lot of effort to film these trips and to get these videos out to the public so people can maybe learn something or, you know, ask me some questions in the comments and hopefully I can get back to them and give them the best answer I can. But yeah, you know, the biggest thing is just, you never know who's going to see those videos. So even if it's just a 8-inch sturgeon, I'm trying to post it no matter what. I will say that, you know, I'm trying to get better on the editing and in coming out with a little bit more high quality videos rather than just filming it on my iPhone and then, you know, recording way past the time. Then people are just hearing me say some random shit on camera. But yeah, I totally get that, man. It's a work in progress for sure.
Yeah, and like you can even see on my YouTube channel, my first videos are not that great, but I've just made it a goal that every video that I put out, I try and make it a little bit better than the one before. So I put a little bit more effort into it. I learn something new almost every time, you know, with my editing software or whatever. I'm always trying to figure it out how to make the next one better. And then another part is like learning how to film to make a video. Like when I first started, I was just filming to film. I didn't have plans to make my videos. And now when I go out and film a hunting trip or a fishing trip, I'm like, all right, this needs to be my intro. This needs to be the next section. I'm like planning out my video while I'm filming it.
Yeah. So, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that side of things. You know, I was kind of the same way, just filming to film. You know, I didn't really know much about, you know, creating content like that. You know, I see, I watch a lot of guys, you know, YouTubes, other fishermen on TikTok, all that good stuff, and kind of take what I learned from them and put it towards my own videos. And it's been working a little bit, been working pretty good. You know, the last few weeks, I've definitely been taking my time with the videos a little bit more, trying to edit and trying to put out the most clear videos. But when I first started, it was just kind of filming to film, not really have a plan. Hopefully I catch a fish, you know, if not, yeah, is what it is. But it's always nice to get on one and then have that film to either look back at yourself and then also, you know, put it out to the public so they can see and enjoy that video as well.
Yeah, I get you. It's a lot of work, but I think it, no matter what, it'll pay off. If it never turns into anything, I always have something to look back on, something that 100%. I can get someday, you know.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, I'm a fisherman first, and, you know, if the content stuff does blow up and I do get somebody to hit my line for a sponsorship or whatever, you know, whatever that may be, so be it. But if not, you know, I still got a lot of good stuff to look back on and a lot of good videos. Had a few questions for you. Just one of them being, where is the place that you hunt the most? Not probably like direct area, but if you have like a national forest or kind of a landmark that you're hitting each time, or if you're in a different part of the state for different animals, or if you kind of want to get into that a little bit, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. So growing up, I did a lot of hunting up above like Arrow Rock, Unit 39. And I've done pretty good up there. I've killed some bucks. I've killed a couple bulls up there. I've killed a couple bears up there, but it's been getting way overloaded with people, like to the point where if you go up on opening day, that you can't even find a spot to pull off the side of the road to park.
You're just battling with other people.
It's crazy. So I've been looking the last couple of years. I've been hunting around Sun Valley, and I've done all right. I drew an elk tag up there, and I probably saw 30 different bulls, and I shot at one, and I hit a branch that was crossing in front of it, and just couldn't make it happen. Never killed anything. Saw more bulls than I've seen anywhere else, but I couldn't make it happen. But I've been looking for new areas, trying to find new places, and one of my goals has been just to hunt a new spot like every year. So
yeah,
I have my regular spots that I'll go back to, like my bear hunting spots. I won't tell you really exactly where it's at.
Yeah, dude, no worries.
Like Unit 33, Unit 34, like that area.
Yep.
And I can go back there every year and at least find some bears. But I've been looking for, you know, those spots that don't get hunted very much that I can come back to. I've just been keeping my eye out and trying new areas.
Yeah, 100%, dude. That's what it's all about, you know, as, you know, an avid hunter, as you are an avid fisherman, you know, you're always trying to look for those new spots. And, you know, after a while, you kind of just have an eye for what you're looking for. And, you know, you get probably asked like, oh, how do you, you know, approach a different spot to hunt or approach a different spot to fish? It's just kind of like, you know, you've been doing it for so long, you kind of just know what to look for. You know, that's mostly the answer I give to a lot of people. If they ask me like where I go fishing, you know, how I look for a different hole, you know, what I'm looking for. It's always the same answer. It's like, you know, I've been doing this since I was a little kid, you know, 4 or 5 years old. It's just kind of, you know, it's just kind of in the back of my brain. I just kind of know what to look for, and just
a lot of it's trial and error. Like,
exactly.
I don't know how many times I'll try a new spot and be completely skunked.
100%.
And I'll be like, man, it looks so good. I've been checking it out on my Onyx on Google Earth or whatever, or I've driven past it or whatever. And I'll be like, it looks so good. And now there's just nothing there. On to the next spot, try something new. And then you'll also be surprised. Some of the spots that don't look that great, you know, they can be a little secret hidey hole that gets overlooked by everyone else. So
yeah,
try and error, keep your eyes open. Even when I'm at work, I'm like keeping my eyes. Oh, you know, that little creek over there looks like it might have some fish in it.
Yeah. I might have to try that after work sometime.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. You know, the trial and error is the biggest thing. You know, there's sometimes you'll pull up to a spot, whether it's fishing or even hunting, and you're like, oh, you know, this, you know, I haven't been here. Yeah, but you never know. You're never going to know until you try. And that's honestly been the best thing for me, is just with fishing. It's just like trying those new spots. And then, you know, sometimes I'll shock myself and I'm like in a spot that I don't normally go to, or something that I'm like a little bit sketchy about, but you know, I'm catching fish all day long and I'm like, this surprised me. This is not normally what I'm looking for. Or what, you know, what I'm targeting. So, it's pretty cool though. You know, you challenge yourself with a lot of those new spots, and it's good when you are successful, especially in that, you know, hunting and fishing, that hunting and fishing aspect. So it's pretty cool when you do come across a new spot, or you are targeting a new animal or fish and you're able to get on some.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. I have a buddy that also talked about, you were talking about Arrow Rock and how above there's some good bears. I have a buddy that, was hunting up there for, bears in the springtime. And he's like, oh my God, I must've seen 13 or 14 different bears. It was insane. But he also mentioned that there is a ton of people out there. Just, you know, you're walking along and you're seeing a ton of people, and it's just, people get wind of a spot and it kind of gets blown up. And that's the tough thing about, you know, being a hunter, you know, an avid hunter and fisherman. You know, you gotta, that's the one thing that's in the back of your mind, is like every summer or every season, there's always going to be more and more people coming to these spots. So it's just, it gets challenging at times for sure. And I'm sure you've probably had your fair share of that.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And the best way for me to avoid that is to just get further back, you know, hike, get back in there further than anybody else wants to go. Hunt the shit that nobody else wants to hike up into, and get away, get a few miles off the road. There's so many people that just want to road hunt, or that want it to come easy. And for me, I'm trying to be successful every year and make it happen. So I'm putting in the work. I'm getting back in there further than anyone else, and get into that rugged country that nobody else is going to be in. And but that's where the animals are. They're smart, a lot smarter than you think they are. They know where people go, and they know when hunting season is too. So
100%.
Like, you can go somewhere in the summer and see bucks and bulls off the side of the road all day, every day. And then as soon as hunting season comes around, they're gone. That's not where they're going to be.
They're gone. Yeah. That's the craziest part, you know. Just talking to other hunters and people that do that, they say the exact same thing. You know, they're always in the spots that you're least expecting. You know, sometimes you just see them on the side of the road. I remember I was driving, because I'm in the Boise area, and I remember driving. I don't know where I was at, but I saw a ginormous buck in town just trotting along on the side of the road, and there's people taking pictures and videoing it. It's probably one of the biggest bucks I've ever seen in my life. And he was just right in the middle of town, just, you know, hanging out, not where he's supposed to be, but they're smart because they know people can't shoot him in town, obviously. Can't, so it's just kind of one of those things where it's just like, you know, they've done it. They've done it. They've been a part of all these hunting seasons, especially those animals that have never been touched and been able to, you know, hide away from humans for so long. You know, they've done it for so long that they know they're expecting it, and they prepare, you know, just like you're prepared to go get after that animal. You know, they're also preparing not to get killed.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of seeing big bucks in Boise, I remember a couple of seasons ago, I spent a whole week deer hunting, and I saw a couple little bucks. I was never able to make anything happen, and I put in the work. I was hiking over 5 miles every day, backpacked in, sleeping on the mountain. Couldn't find any mature bucks, couldn't find anything that would offer up a shot, couldn't glass anything up. And then I come home and I pull into my driveway in downtown Boise, and there's a giant 4-point walking across the driveway. Yep. After I just spent a whole week up in the mountains, not seeing anything, and it can be frustrating, but it is what it is.
Yeah, 100%, dude. It is what it is. You know, you do it for so long, you're bound to see those big ones just trotting in town, you know, you mocking you and making fun of you and, you know, all that good stuff. But yeah, just kind of going into just one more question for you, kind of flipping it over to the fishing side. So when you know, you're targeting those sturgeon and you're targeting those catfish, are, you know, I know for catfish, you're more of, you know, catching, you know, catcher type of bait right on the river if you can, straight fresh. Is that, you know, is that the, every single time you go out, you know, you're trying to catch fresh bait and just, you know, flipping it around, putting it on your hook and targeting catfish. Same with sturgeon. Are you, I know a lot of guys will go after crappie and perch and some other, fresh cut bait on the river and use it for sturgeon. Are you doing that type of guy stuttering here a little bit. Are you doing that type of thing? Or are you more so like kind of buying some stuff at the store, you know, half and half, you know, whatever you can get your hands on?
Yeah, I would say half and half. I always bring something with me just in case I can't catch something fresh, but fresh bait's the way to go. So usually when I get out to my fishing spots, I'll spend like the first 30 to 45 minutes targeting specifically for a bait fish. So a pike minnow is my favorite. That's my go-to if I can get lucky enough to hook into one of those. Next, I would say like a sucker. Something that's got like a nice oily type of meat to it. So pike minnows and suckers are really great. I've had my best luck on the flatheads and sturgeon with those. Another thing, if you catch a bass over 12 inches, you can legally use it as bait. But it works definitely if you can catch a pike minnow or a sucker, it works better. But even just a carp, if you can catch anything fresh, it'll work better than anything that you buy at the store.
Yeah, 100%. I remember this past summer just going out on the Snake River. I always had an extra rod with me. You know, I'd be out on a certain stretch that I knew that had a lot of smallmouth and crappie, and I'd be jigging for crappie and then turning around and cutting it up and using it for bait, and it just
worked
like magic.
A good one. They have a real oily meat too. So yeah, like a crappie, I've gotten pretty lucky. There's a spot on the Snake River that you wouldn't think there'd be crappie, but there's a little crappie hole right there, and you're almost guaranteed to catch a crappie every time. And sometimes, and it's not where my catfishing spot and sturgeon spots are, but sometimes I'll make the extra drive, go catch a couple crappie, and then drive back to my spot to make sure I have some good fresh bait. But if I'm not able to catch anything fresh, worms, I can always catch a catfish on worms or like a pickled squid or something like that.
Yeah, you know,
something with me.
Yeah, you know, a lot of time with those catfish, it's if you can't get the fresh bait, you know, try to get something with a good scent on it, something that smells a little bit, you know, old school, and they'll hit it. You know, they're bottom feeders, so they'll pretty much eat anything you'll throw at them. I mean, I've caught I've caught catfish my whole life, and I've caught them on pretty much everything you could throw at them. And that's the beauty of it, you know, especially with targeting those fish is, you know, they'll hit on mostly anything. But I just doing a little bit more research and trying to get a little bit more experience with that. I've had a lot more luck, especially on the big ones, catching my own bait. Normally this past summer, I'd go out to a pond out in Meridian and just hammer the bluegill. And then I'd take all that bluegill that I get and head straight to the Snake River for catfish. And it would just be money every single time. Same with the crappie. I found a nice little crappie hole. I don't know if you know where Steck Park is, you know, up by Weiser, that railroad bridge, that old railroad bridge. Well, not old, it's still active. I had plenty of trains passing by me as I'm fishing, but I remember just kind of doing a little weightless rig with a night crawler, just jigging the night crawler right by this bridge and just 10 to 12 crappie in probably 45 minutes and just pretty much just taking them, you know, a few of them at a time and just cutting them up and using them for catfish bait. And it was almost an instant bite, you know, within 10 minutes, you know, I'm getting a hit and getting a catfish in. So it's pretty cool, you know, just seeing that difference between that cut bait and that, you know, that store-bought stuff. It's definitely the cut bait is the way to go.
Yeah, and especially if you can catch it at the same spot that you're mm-hmm. fishing, if yep. it's on the same water, you know, it's what those fish are used to eating. That's what they've been eating their whole lives. That's what they, you know, that's what they're used to. So 100%. If you can catch that fresh bait right there in the same spot and cut it up and toss it out real fresh, that's been my 100% go-to right there.
Yeah, that's what at least what I try to do last summer. The sturgeon fishing is a little bit different. I definitely, I've been using a lot of different baits. Kind of my go-to has been cut trout. A lot of guys are like, if you can get fresh trout straight from the river, whether it was from the snake or even if the Boise, if I'll go in the morning, I'll catch a few and then just go straight to the snake. I'll have some good luck. My first sturgeon I caught was about a 7-footer and I put a trout head on there just pretty much, you know, with my, Gamagatsu, the octopus, just straight through both of his lips, tossing out there. And I got hit within probably 10 minutes and good hour and 15 minute fight later, this fish comes in and I was ecstatic, legs shaking, out of breath, felt like I was playing football again. So it was an experience.
Something about the heads.
Yeah.
I feel like the heads always work the
always.
Best.
Always, even for catfish too. I mean, I use bluegill heads, crappie heads, all that stuff. I feel like the heads, it's like I'll get towards the tail and the body and I'm like, I'm just not hooking up as much. And then I'll catch another one. I cut the head straight off. I'll throw the other piece back in the bag and I'm hooking up onto a fish within 10, 15 minutes, if that.
Yeah, I feel you. Well, one question I wanted to ask you was,
yeah, 100%.
Do you have like a favorite fishing story? What's your favorite memory of fishing?
Cool, man. I got a lot of them, man. Oh, geez. You know what? I have one for my, I mean, I got a ton. I mean, I could sit here for hours and hours and hours. But I remember when I was a kid, we had this, these set of quarry ponds pretty close to my house. You weren't technically supposed to fish there, but I mean, you know, when you're a kid, you're younger, I was a teenager, you just did whatever the fuck you wanted to do. I didn't really care. Neither did my buddies. And we kind of knew kind of how, what times the quote unquote workers were working who would tell us to get out and not fish here. A lot of the workers at these places were really cool. They're like, oh, you know, rather you be fishing than going and committing crimes. And I was just like, you know what, you know, I could take that. But there's these set of quarry ponds and me, my brother and my two of my other best friends went out and, these fish don't really get caught very often. So it's just like, honestly, like rapid fire action. And I remember we must've caught over 200 or 300 bass in probably 5 hours at these quarry ponds. And we were just using, you know, Senkos and brush hogs and, you know, just a lot of plastic baits. And it was just probably the greatest day of fishing I've ever had. Just everybody I was with, we were catching. I mean, there wasn't, there was nobody there that wasn't catching more than probably 70 or 80 bass. Like it was pretty crazy. And it was an experience. It was just nonstop action, not the biggest bass. You know, one of my buddies ended up getting a 4 that day, but most of them were around the 2.5 to 3 pound range, which are still fun. But it's just like when you're a teenager, you're just out there, just enjoying nature and enjoying, you know, the fishing aspect, just it's an amazing thing, and it's a lot of fun. And we were hammering them all day. We were probably out there for probably from like noon to probably sundown, and it was over 200 bass caught, and it's crazy. You know, I tell that story all the time, and people are like, "Oh, there's no way." And I'm just like, "I'm telling you, go ask my brother, go ask my two buddies. They'll say the exact same thing." It was just nonstop action. Probably one of the greatest days of fishing I've ever had, man.
No, I believe it, man. That's one of those fishing trips that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
100%. I'll never forget that one. Yeah, no way. But yeah, dude.
Never had a day of fishing that good, but I've had some pretty close.
So. Yeah, you know, one of those, you know, those quarry ponds, those high pressured waters, it's just nonstop action. Those fish aren't used to getting caught, so it's not really it's pretty easy fishing. You know, kind of just throwing out a Senko, whatever it may be. We were just mostly using plastics, and we were getting after them. So it was a hell of a day. And you know, I've had a lot more, you know, days not like that, but you know, cool stories as well. You know, just out on the Snake River at night, do a lot of night fishing. So especially as it starts warming up in the summertime, and there's always tons and tons of stories to tell, and you know, tons of memories to make. So it's a good time, man. You know, it's basically all I do. If, like I say this all the time, if I'm not working, I'm fishing. So whether it's before work, I'll head out to the Snake before work and go after sturgeon. I'll go after work, night fishing for catfish in the summer, whatever it may be, dude. I'm always fishing, always outdoors. I like being out in the woods. Don't really like being inside too much. So
yeah, same here. That's the way to do it. It's the best way to live.
Yeah, exactly, dude. You're only here for so long, so you might as well do what you love, and that's what I love to do. So yeah, man. So is there anything else you'd like to touch up on, or you know, kind of shout out maybe your accounts or anything, because there could be a decent amount of people see this, and it'll probably bring a good amount of hopefully subscribers and new followers to your content on Instagram, TikTok, and
YouTube. Want to shout out my YouTube, High Desert Adventures. That's what I am on Instagram, TikTok, everything is High Desert Adventures. So check me out. I've got some really good videos on there, some good content that I think everyone will appreciate. Hunting, fishing, shed hunting.
100%. A little bit of a
mixture. And if you go back to my old videos, they're not so great, but every video is getting better and better. So watch the most recent ones first.
Yeah, 100%, man. And yeah, you guys heard it here. High Desert Adventures. Go follow him on Instagram and TikTok, and then go subscribe to his YouTube. He's got a lot of good stuff. I've been following him for years, and it's a great time tuning in, watching his videos. But just kind of, you know, wrapping things up here, man, I really appreciate you being on here, taking your time out of your busy schedule to get on this podcast and record this episode with me. I really appreciate it, my man.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, man. It was nice.